Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
In a world that's perfect, lies a perfect little town where one team stands alone. But now, something stirring that will change this place forever.
Perfect, though.
Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast for your Miami Dolphins, part of the Believe Network. I am Sam Marcoux, and he is the two-time returning Hall of Famer. Of course, I'm talking about the good doctor himself, back from his world tour, Dr. Christopher Colin. Doctor, how in the hell are you, my friend?
Top of the morning to you, laddie.
Yeah, anyone watching this, and anybody listening to this can tell I'm immediately regretting this decision to allow you to be on this show with your Irish bowler hat or whatever you, I don't, newspaper boy. It says Belfast on it. I mean, you have embraced the entire Irish country as your own, it looks.
Yeah, if you don't know, wife and I and our son went to Ireland, 2-week tour. He's invited on a Team USA kind of academy team. Did great, 3 matches, toured the country, met a World Cup player and Olympian for Irish team, and he scored twice in his last game. It's pretty awesome. But Ireland was insane. It was amazing. So we were separated from our son, so we didn't, like, we can just wing it, do whatever we want. So we flew into Dublin, got drunk there a few nights, drove all the way across the country to Galway, saw the Cliffs of Moher, and got just pissed drunk in Galway, which is a great city. And then we drove to Limerick and then Belfast, and that was a doozy. I could do a whole episode on Belfast, because that was, I mean, I knew about the IRA and everything that was a thing, but man, it was a thing. Like, yeah. We were looking for dinner at like 6 o'clock. They're like, we're not serving anybody, we're closing soon. And I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah, the troubles. We haven't recovered. Like, we still get off at 5 and go home, and we're safe at home. And I'm like, I just came from Dublin. And I was like, you know, getting breakfast at 3 a.m. in a pint of Guinness. But it's different there. It's a whole different ball game. So, man, what a tour. What a tour. Amazing. But now we're right into football.
Yeah, we're right into football. And, you know, I grew up in Dublin, California. You were in Dublin, Ireland. I'm actually in Dublin, Ohio right now. Actually, I'm technically in Columbus, but I'll be going to Dublin, Ohio for dinner a little bit later here tonight. So speaking of football, like you said, I flew into Ohio the day after our hero, Zach Thomas, was in Ohio to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, which, you know, if there's ever a Dolphins moment, like if we could encapsulate the last 20 years of a Dolphins fan moment, like the team has, it would be that. Let's fly to the place where the entire legendary status of all Miami Dolphins are going to be. But let's go the day after, Chris. That's where I am right now.
Yeah, when I found that out and you told me that you're going to be in Ohio, I was like, he's clearly going for Zach Thomas's induction to Canton. No. But thus was not the case.
No.
You flew in the day after. There's a possibility you maybe like passed him at TSA as he's flying out. You missed everything.
I passed every Rondé Barber fan I've ever seen in my life. Like, there was a lot of fans here for a team from Florida, but it was the wrong team in general. I told you this off air. I might as well just tell everyone. I leave in a couple of days from when I'm recording right now, and I fly into Midway, which is the smaller airport in Chicago. It's a 20-minute flight, Chris. It's going to take me an hour and a half to get through security, get on the bus, get on the plane, taxi, take off. And then by the time we take off and they're like, welcome to the flight, we'll be landing. And then I have a 6-hour layover before I take basically a direct flight home from there back to California. It's going to be, I don't know. I want to kill myself, Chris. That's what I want to do. I want to jump off a building.
Who's your travel agent? Fireman Ed? Like, like, good Lord. Somebody hates you.
I probably had like a Patriots fan book this. I have no idea.
20-minute flight, Sam. You can't even like put your seat back. They're going to be you're going to take off and they're like, all right, the seatbelt sign's coming off. All right, seatbelt signs on. We're getting ready to land. Like,
it's like I'm going to go to the Columbus airport and look out the window and go, oh, there's the other airport that I'm going to fly to. Like, I can see it out the window. It's the stupidest thing.
Hi, airport.
Oh, I'll see you guys soon. Save me a seat at the restaurant. Like, I can put my name down at a restaurant. Like, I can make reservations. And they could be like, okay, we'll text you when your table's ready. And like, I could land and go to the restaurant and be like, sir, we haven't texted you yet. Like,
yeah, your little buzzer hasn't gone off. You're like, but I flew here. Like, I was on a plane. And they're like, yeah, great. Your table's still not ready. You got to wait outside Chili's for another 15 minutes.
Yeah, I would be at Chili's as well because it'd be a restaurant in an airport. It's either a Chili's or, you know, like the last TGI Fridays on Earth. speaking of ridiculous, though, like, it's a ridiculous flight. It's ridiculous that you told me a story that you were in Ireland and the second most popular beer in all of Ireland, Chris. Why don't you let everybody know the plebs who don't get to travel around the world like you, tell everybody the mystery craft beer that the Irish drink so that you too at home, citizens of Perfectville, can be just like the Irish.
Yeah. So we're sitting there in this Irish pub and every single tap is from a beer from Ireland. There's 16 hops. There's Five Lamps. That's a Dublin brewery. Guinness, of course, has its own like beautiful like thing with their taps. And then there's Carlsberg, which isn't Irish. It's more like Norway, I think, or something. Danish, but still not American. Sure. And all these different beers. And all of a sudden, I see there's a tap for good old Blue Rocky Mountain Coors Light. And I had drank enough to where I was like to the bartender, which is, by the way, they don't tip in Ireland. So every bartender like just stops and fills your beer up. So I was constantly drinking full beers because I wasn't waiting for one specific waiter that's getting my tip. Yeah. So like everyone just walked by and, hey, you good? Do you need something? I'm like, absolutely. And they would just help me because they don't care. They're not working for tips, which was great. So I started chatting up one of them who was a huge American basketball fan. So me and him started talking about it. And I was like, what's with the fucking Coors Light? Like, what is that? And he's like, oh, mate, other than Guinness, that is the most popular beer here for Irish folks. And I'm like, are you serious? So me and Charlotte, my wife, started paying attention. And every 5 minutes, there's a 25, 30-year-old Irishman coming up to the bar to order a pint of Coors Light. And wow. I was like, that's insane. There's all these different amazing Irish beers that I couldn't get enough of, and they're just drinking the old silver bullets, and it just blew my mind.
How much does it cost for a Coors Light over in Ireland? Because they have like poured it over there at some point, right? I don't have a brewery in town.
Yeah, so you're looking at, if you're not in Dublin, if you're in Galway, or we stopped in Athlone, which is a random middle area, I got like five euro for a Guinness, a pint of Guinness, and then you're looking at around the same €5-6 for a Coors Light. And, you know, it's funny, too, that it says Coors, but it's not the banquet beer. It's Coors with the Coors Light logo, but they remove light. They don't want you to think it's light, but it clearly is. Yeah, and I had a Heineken over there, and Heineken was incredible because it was, like, didn't sit in a barrel all day in America on the trip over. No skunky flavor, nothing. Like, Heineken was just fucking bomb.com over in Ireland. Wow. That and Guinness was great.
You would have given me five chances and I would have never guessed that. I would have, if I'd put money down on that, I would have lost that. Yeah. Coors Light was the beer.
Coors Light.
But if I were to gamble, I would do it at Bet Online, Chris. That's right, because Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Maybe not Coors Light. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. That's right, from your phone, you degenerates. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. There's always this moment, Chris, where I tie in the Bet Online and like you're getting ready to talk and then you realize, oh, he's doing an ad, and then he just kind of like, I could see you slowly get anger building up before, you know, being like, all right, it's okay, it's part of this is how we get paid, it's fine.
I know you. We've done this so long where I'm like, how is he gonna fit in this ad somehow? And you did it to Coors Light, and it's a testament to how well you do your job, because the way you host the show is phenomenal, because I know you had that in your mind 5 minutes ago and you're just waiting for it to hit. And you're like, you know what? I wouldn't have bet Coors Light would be there. I'd lose money, but you know what? I wouldn't lose money. But I mean, just class. Oh, yeah. They say that a lot in Ireland. Class.
That's class. Just class. Well, I will take it. And you know, I feel a lot like Lightning McQueen reading the Rusties at the beginning of Cars these days when it comes to like with a little bit of luck, Rusties. Like you got to crowbar that in. I had, by the way, shout out to who was on the show last week. You were not. Who was on the show? He was very memorable. He did a fantastic job. It was Sean Williams, writer for SI.com. And he didn't know, and I didn't tell him, like, I'm just going to crowbar this in at any point. So he's just like talking, and I just go, oh, you know what? That's Sean. That's right. And here's boom, right into the ad. He's looking at me like, what the fuck just happened? I was like, oh, never mind. You haven't been doing this for 7 years with me like Chris has. So, but shout out to Sean. He has some really good insight when it came to the Jalen Ramsey injury. And you and I haven't talked about this, Chris, but there's so much going on right now in the world of the Miami Dolphins, as always. Now, let's just recap. Dalvin Cook still has not signed. He still gives weird bullshit emojis out just about every single day, whether he's going to sign with the Jets or the Dolphins or anybody in particular. Jalen Ramsey is hurt, but I don't know if he's coming back in December, October, or he's now listed as the starter on the depth chart that was just released by the Miami Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa got a tattoo. People still get mad that he throws the ball, but sometimes it will wobble and sometimes it doesn't land directly in the receiver's hands, but all the time, most of the time it does. Have I missed? Oh, Zach Thomas was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and that looked rad and awesome, and I'm jealous that I wasn't here other than the day after. What have I missed here, Chris? What are we up to speed? What have I missed? What do you want to talk about when it comes to the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, up to speed. One other thing I'd mention is that something I've noticed with my arrival back to the States and watching normal American television, which, by the way, another fun little tidbit, the closed captioning in Ireland is a mini person superimposed in the front actually doing the sign language. So that blew my mind. Yeah, really distracting, really weird. And not all of it. There's some TV channels. We're watching like Hell's Kitchen or something, and there's just a random white guy in the corner doing Gordon Ramsay's yelling and cursing. And there's no censorship over there either. They show you the ads are kind of crazy. Got a dick ad on my phone. That was fun. And then, yeah, the cursing on television. But, yeah, other than that, I've been watching NFL Network and ESPN here, and I did notice a shit ton of Miami Dolphins on the NFL Top 100.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty impressive. I mean, you're talking about Armstead, Waddle, Ramsey, Tua. I think, of course, Tyreek Hill's top 10. I think he's number 7 recently. Yep. So, I mean, we've got a loaded team here. Mike McDaniel, of course, has had some good little nugs in his press conferences. But, yeah, Dalvin Cook still, as of this, as we speak, is still the bet odds-on favorite, speaking of my bookie, to go with the Dolphins. We're still negative 150 to get Dalvin Cook. So he's just kind of waiting it out. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Kareem Hunt is visiting some teams. Maybe he's waiting on to see what he signs for. But all real news about our running back room is looking well. Like, you know, Mostert's wearing an orange jersey. Achane has scored a touchdown. He's looking fast. So maybe they don't even make the move. Who knows?
Well, a couple things. My bookie, you threw us back into a time warp. I believe it's betonline.ag these days. No longer my bookie. Fuck my bookie. Unless they are going to pay us again, then, you know, I'll unfuck my bookie. I don't know. But you're right. So there are some things here that I do think we do need to talk about. Yes, you're right. We had 6 players, if I'm not mistaken, in the top 100. And doing the average, there's 32 teams. That means everyone should have about 3 players, which means we took somebody else's other spot. So sorry, Arizona Cardinals, but your lack of good players is going to be our benefit. Jalen Ramsey being down probably till November or December is going to hurt this team, but they are pretty damn deep. What I was talking last week about is like, what sucks about this is that he was the new toy. Like, imagine if we got Tyreek last year and then he got hurt right away. We'd just be like gutted. But you know, Jalen Ramsey was supposed to be that guy, the Tyreek Hill of the defense. And of course he goes down with an injury. But he's going to come back. I mean, he's already off crutches, which is amazing. I think it was like 4 or 5 days and he ditched the crutches.
No brace either.
Yeah. I mean, he's a superhuman athlete. So it would not surprise me if he pushes the boundaries and comes back a lot sooner than anybody thinks. So that was really a lot of fun to see. And then I have to, you know, shout out to the defense, Christian Wilkins, you know, you and I were on the show a couple months ago and we talked about, you know, who would we sign? Connor Williams, Christian Wilkins, and Zach Sealer. And I believe you said Zach Sealer first. And I was thinking, well, maybe we would take Connor Williams because we've at least seen him in this offense. And we don't know if Christian Wilkins is going to be that dude in a new system with Vic Fangio. We kind of needed to see it first. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say that the Sam Marcoux Perfectville curse is back on, because not only has he proved it so far, he's gone as far as like old man, get off my lawn, curmudgeon Vic Fangio has come out and been like, he's everything I could ever dream of. We're going to have to pay this guy, and we should do it now. I'm going to reverse what I said before and say, do it now, because he's going to cost us a fucking fortune with every single practice, every single preseason game. And of course, regular season game where he performs under this 1 year contract for his fifth year extension, as opposed to a long-term deal. I say, sign him now.
Yeah, I agree with you. And not only did he sign him because of his physical abilities, but that is the last guy I'm going to be playing against.
Yeah.
You know, we love him. We love him. His antics, the stealing the towels and ripping off the necklaces. If he's on any other team, fuck that guy. I can't stand that guy. But, you know, Godchild wasn't that guy. Jared Odrick wasn't that guy. He was quiet, reserved. So I don't care if we lose him. You don't want to lose a Christian Wilkins. That's a guy the locker room loves. It'll just cause terrible morale everywhere. We've talked about it a million times about him going and celebrating with our offense when they score, because he's that invested in his team. He should be a captain and is a captain, no matter if he has a C on his chest or not. And you got to pay him, because if he has another insane year, especially with Vic Fangio's defense, it's going to cost even more. It's inflation right away.
I'm only laughing because I was watching one of those videos of him, you know, talking shit to other teams, and he's like against the Giants or something. And he's pointing at the guy, and the guy like swiped at him. He goes, "Ooh, you're going to get fined. You're going to get fined. You're playing for free this week, fat boy." And just seeing a fat boy call another guy a fat boy, it warms my heart. It was class. It was pure class, as the Irish would say. So here's the thing. If they don't sign him, would you consider trading him before the trade deadline to try and recoup? I mean, well, I don't know what you're going to get. He was a first-round pick. I doubt you're going to get a first-round pick for him, but I don't know. I mean, what do you do if you can't sign him before the season?
Wait and try to sign him after the season, or maybe franchise tag him. I mean,
franchise,
we keep Christian Wilkins on this team. There's no way you let him walk. I would definitely start getting him in the room, though, like now, because guess who's going to get paid in a couple more years? And it's not and I know it's Tua, but not Tua, Jalen Phillips. Yep. This guy's lighting up camp also. He had a hell of a split practice with Atlanta today, was in the backfield constantly. This guy is going to absolutely thrive with Bradley Chubb and Vic Fangio around and a part of this defense. So he's going to get paid in a couple of years. So you have to get Christian Wilkins locked up ASAP.
Well, you also have not only Tua and Jalen Phillips, but you also have Jalen Waddle. He's going to have to get paid. And oh, guess what? Because he was technically a second round pick and not a first round pick, we don't have the fifth year option when it comes to Javon Holland. So he's going to have to get paid here before too long, too. But it's interesting to me, you know, you look at that round, that first round, and for all the whatever of Chris Greer, he got it wrong with Austin Jackson, Noah Igbinoghene, who we should be talking about as well, by the way. Javon Holland looks like he's going to be an absolute superstar. Vic Fangio does not hand out flowers. He doesn't. But here's who he handed out the flowers to: Christian Wilkins, and he handed it out to Javon Holland. He's gone as far as to say, we don't know who the other starter is going to be opposite of Javon Holland at this point, which I think puts some of these people like Deshaun Elliott and others on notice. Like, you better up your game, because this is not a guaranteed spot for you at this moment. But the fact that he said Javon Holland's the guy. That guy's going to be a superstar. Christian Wilkins is out there just wreaking havoc everywhere. Jalen Phillips, there's some debate as to whether or not he's doing enough in practice or not. I think he is. It looks like he's going to take off this season. And there's a lot of people, a lot of smart people who are around this game that feel the same way. It looks pretty good. That defensive line looks menacing. It looks like the Vic Fangio defense for that defensive line is going to be a big time benefit for the Miami Dolphins this year. So I'm feeling really, really good about that part of our defense here, Chris. I don't know yet how I feel about the interior linebackers. You have David Long, who seems like he's doing okay, but Vic Fangio came out and said, hey, there's a reason why he doesn't have the orange jersey yet. And then, of course, you have Jerome Baker out there, who, again, seems to be doing all right, but I am not hearing their names a lot. Are you concerned at all about the starting interior linebackers for the Miami Dolphins here in 2023?
Yeah, and considering that's a position I played and coached specifically other than defensive coordinator, that position itself, yes, because there's just not somebody that's standing out and you're like, oh, fuck, yeah, we got that stud there. Channing Tindall has been just completely a disappointment.
Yeah.
Names not being mentioned at all other than beat reporters saying we're not seeing anything from Channing Tindall. Baker, yeah, is just being Jerome Baker at this point. And David Long has been, some practices have been good that I've read and heard about. You know, a lot of fans on Twitter said he's standing out some, but nothing like that's taking your breath away. However, yeah, if your front seven's good enough and your DBs are good enough, you don't really need a superstar there to win playoff games and go deep, but you're going to need somebody to step up for sure, or we go in and get a free agent or trade for somebody.
Well, I would say we can go get another free agent defensive back to fill the Jalen Ramsey spot, but we've been doing that. Not only do we sign Eli Apple, we signed about three or four other defensive backs and cornerbacks here over the last week, and it doesn't seem like any of them are going to be in the mix necessarily to start or take minutes away from where Jalen Ramsey would have been. It does look like Cam Smith is going to be primed to spend a lot of time on the field, and he's another one that he's a rookie, and this is a position that I think, in my opinion, other than like a Sauce Gardner or these big superstars, it can take a minute for you to get your feet underneath you as a starter or a contributing defensive back or cornerback. But Vic Fangio put him on notice already, Chris. I mean, we see some good highlights from Cam Smith laying out, knocking balls down at the end zone in practice. But Vic Fangio basically came out and said he needs to be more consistent. He needs to understand the playbook. He needs to understand what the hell he's doing out there. What are your thoughts on Cam Smith from everything you've seen, read, or heard about so far in camp?
Yeah, the Fangio stuff doesn't really worry me. He's a rookie. I mean, it's who knows what kind of defense they ran at South Carolina. But from everything I've seen physically, as far as traits and how he is on the field and from fan accounts that are there in person, Cam Smith is a dog.
Yeah,
he's a dog. He's out there. He's diving. He's chirpy. He's everything you want from a pick that at the moment you're like, why are we picking a corner here?
Oh, it looks brilliant weird. In hindsight.
Now yeah, it looks absolutely brilliant because Jalen Ramsey gets hurt. We're going to lose him for most of the fall. And Cam Smith can step up with Noah Igbinoghe also having a decent camp from what all counts that I'm seeing. Cam Smith, I think he's going to be fine. He's already making plays out there because he can physically do so. But I think he's going to be even better once he gets the playbook, things slow down for him. And that might take half the season. I mean, who knows? This is the NFL. All guys are good. All guys are great. And you got coaches constantly trying to, you know, find your weaknesses and expose them. And he's going to have to get over that. But his physical traits are good enough to where he's not going to kill us if he's out there getting a lot of playing time, like you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, there's this defense right now has looked much sharper recently, especially after the Jalen Ramsey injury. I mean, you see all the fun highlights from Tua and to Tyreek and, you know, a lot of throws and all that. And that's all oohs and ahs. But I think the defense took it personally when Jalen Ramsey went down, because I think the day after he went down, they had 12 sacks or something like that in practice. And they haven't really let up since. I mean, the offense has certainly got some licks in, but this defense looks like it's ready to start playing football tomorrow, Chris. Again, I think the inside linebacker area and possibly the depth at safety are the areas of concern for me. But I feel like this defense is really catching on with Vic Fangio. And I think Vic Fangio is going to be somebody was asking me yesterday. I was doing a podcast appearance on another podcast, I think for a Rams radio show, if I'm not mistaken. And they asked me, what was the biggest move that the Miami Dolphins made this so far in this offseason? And I said, it's got to be Vic Fangio. I mean, he was number one, him bringing in this system, you know, purging ourselves from some ridiculous Josh Boyer applications of this defense. I mean, he found some good players. Obviously, we just talked about him, but at the same time, I don't know if he deployed them the right way. It seems like we're deploying our right people the right way on defense. What does have me concerned, Chris, is there's two areas on offense that I'm going to have diarrhea about this year. I'm pretty sure they're going to make me shit my pants while watching the Miami Dolphins play offense. And do you care to guess which position groups I might be shitting my pants over?
Oh, let me guess. Tight end and line.
Ding, ding, ding. I would have said line and tight end, but either way, it's not going to be a tight end because I'm going to shit my pants every single time one of these tight ends can't get open, can't block, and somehow either gets Tua Tagovailoa sacked or throwing interceptions when he shouldn't be because they run the wrong way or they can't catch the ball or whatever the case is going on. I don't know what the hell's happening at the tight end position, but what we have right now is not it. I mean, Mike Gesicki, it was time for him to go. It's fine. I've made peace with that, but we did not replace him with a suitable replacement in the draft. We certainly didn't do it in free agency. We haven't traded for anybody. I don't know who is going to pick up that mantle right now, but if we go in there with Durham Smythe being the best tight end on this team, we're going to have to look elsewhere for a consistent third option behind Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle.
Yeah, we're going to have to move Ingold over to tight end or something, because Smite's a great guy. He's a good guy, just not it. And tight end was one of the positions I was hoping to go after in the draft, or even an undrafted option. But you're right. We have to figure that out, because in the Kyle Shanahan and the Mike McDaniel offense, tight end is king. Like, you saw Gesicki, make some plays last year. Was he the focal point? No, but he was an outlet for Tua on many third downs, many options to get big yardage. And look at George Kittle in the 49ers and how they use him and his block. We just don't have that guy there. And like you said, you know, who's behind Tyreek and Waddle as far as explosive options go? Gesicki at least kept them honest because of his size, his speed, and his ability to get open. We just don't have that replacement now. I mean, do you think we go out and get anybody? Is there a free agent out there that's still chilling? I don't think so. But the tight end market, in my opinion, was huge in the draft. Very top heavy, of course, with the guy from Notre Dame and Georgia and who's that other one? They're both from Georgia. Two from Georgia, yeah. But still, I mean, like, Bowers. He hasn't come out yet. Brock Bowers, I think he has another year left. That guy's
got another year. Yeah, I mean,
but anyway, there's tight ends there, and we didn't go after any of them. So,
no, I mean, if I'm looking at the depth chart right now, I mean, Durham Smythe is our starter, and that's fine. Some guy named Croft, who I don't even know who that is our second.
Laura Croft's brother.
Tomb Raider. At least, yeah, there they go. Eric Salbert, who I think was our big free agent pickup out of Denver. Tanner Connor, who basically has the last names of sitcom dads, Danny Tanner and Danny Connor from Roseanne and Full House. That's what he's known for. Higgins, who is the actual tight end that we got from Stanford. He's like fifth on the depth chart behind.
But he was like a receiver. Like, they're switching the tight end, right? Like, and he's like fifth on the depth chart.
And then in number 89, Jay Hill, who I don't even know who that is. I would rather have Drew Hill so we could. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Jonah Hill. There you go. Moneyball. I don't know who these guys are. Half of them, I don't know who
they are. Hold on, because fans are going to be mad about that. The first movie that came to your mind when I said Jonah Hill was Moneyball?
Apparently.
Really?
I mean, that's, what was I going to say?
Superbad?
Okay, I draw dicks. Sure, why not?
Yeah, it's at least fucking, you do the reference.
I really, Jonah Hill, this is
Wolf of Wall Street?
Fine, sure. I think that was a Pixar movie, right? But I don't care
absolutely. Andy from Toy Story was snorting coke off a hooker's ass. Yeah, it was a Pixar movie.
Yeah, I remember that scene. And and the radio flyer car drove off to go get more hookers, and then they struggled to get back into the car. I know, I saw the whole thing. Who cares about Jonah Hill? I'm bitching about the seventh string tight end, Chris, and you're over here giving me shit about Jonah Hill.
Sorry, it's the Irish in me.
You just bombed. You just heart bombed the entire topic.
Yeah, I was told by everybody not to order one of those when you go over there. It's like if you come over here and order a 9/11 or something. So, like, yeah, you don't do that because bartender might have had somebody that actually – you can do it here.
Yeah.
It's not in Ireland, especially not in Belfast.
Is there a drink called a 9/11?
No, but if they ordered one and a bartender's like, my uncle died in the South Tower, like, they'd be upset about it. That's the same thing with the car bombs in Ireland.
I got a – shout out to Daoud. Daoud Namyar, he's a comedian. He's Muslim. He's got a great joke about when people, white guys, will come up to him and go, oh, yeah, you're Muslim, huh? Well, my uncle died at 9/11. He goes, pick it easy. So did mine. It's a good joke.
That's a good joke. That's a real good joke.
Yeah, but
speaking of jokes, did you see the one on the Kelsey Brother podcast?
No, which one's that?
It's a really good joke. It's a little lengthy, but this is Welcome to Perfect Bill. Who cares?
Yeah.
Bunch of guys are sitting around, and one guy stands up and he goes, I'm really fast. I think I'm the fastest guy in the world. And I'm gonna go prove it. Let's call the Guinness Book of World Records. And he goes out and he runs a 40. They time it. They take a picture. They send it to the Guinness Book of Records to see if he's the fastest guy in the world. Next guy goes, I'm really tall. I think I'm the tallest guy in the world. I'm gonna measure myself and send it to the Guinness Book of Records. So they do it and they send it to the Guinness Book of Records. And the next guy goes, I have the smallest dick in the world, and I'm gonna send it to the Guinness Book of Records. So they take out a ruler, they measure it, take a picture, and send it to the Guinness Book of Records. Well, 2 weeks go by and the letters return to see who is the top three or whatever, the Guinness Book of Records. Fastest guy opens the envelope and he goes, I did it. I'm the fastest guy in the world. And the second guy opens his envelope and he goes, "Oh my God, I'm the tallest guy in the world. I'm number one." And then the third guy with a small dick, he opens the envelope and he looks at it and he's all excited and he goes, "Who the fuck is Sam Marcoux?"
I fucking knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. Like halfway through this joke, I'm like, I know where this is going. But it's cool that the Kelsey brothers talked about me on their show. So that's
good. They did. They talked about you and Travis also had Pat Mahomes on. And he mentioned Dan Marino's rookie year stat line. And Travis Kelsey said, "Yeah, that was crazy back in the 70s. He like, didn't even know when he played. Like, Jesus Christ.
Might as well have been. It was 40 years ago. I'll tell you a good joke. It's actually a stupid joke, but I like it. Maybe it's one of those dumb jokes. It's not really a dad joke, but it's one of those jokes. You're like, it's stupid, but it made you laugh. So now you have to shut it. So these three guys, they're stranded on an island. They've been there for a long time. They're walking around. They're trying to figure out how to get home, how to get off this island. And they come across this genie lamp. So they rub the genie lamp and a genie comes out and goes, "Since there's three of you, you can each get one wish." And the first guy says, "You know, I'm really lonely and I miss my family. I'd like to go home. That's my wish." So the guy goes, "Poof, wish granted." And the guy disappears and goes home. And then the second guy goes, "You know, I'm pretty lonely. I miss my family too. I wish I could go home." And he goes, "Wish granted." Poof. And the guy disappears. And he goes to the third guy and goes, "What would you like for your wish?" And he goes, "Well, now I'm all alone. I wish they'd come back."
See ya. They're
like, "See, it gets you." Yeah, it tickles you in the ribs a little bit. Like, it's dumb. I'll tell it later.
See, there's a version of that from the movie Boondock Saints. It's a lot more racist.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah, I'm not going to say that.
Of course. We'll talk offline. But
yeah. Well, speaking of jokes,
Friends. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, and who we're not friends with, I think, right now are Liam Eikenberg and possibly Austin Jackson. I can't quite figure out what the Miami Dolphins see in Liam Eikenberg as the left guard at this point. I think he's miscast. I think he needs to be a tackle, and maybe not even a starting tackle, but a swing tackle. That's what they drafted him as, Chris. And
yes, he was successful at Notre Dame. He was like one of the better tackle. How do you get worse? And they switch positions on him. I just don't get it.
I got to imagine that Butch Berry's got to be feverishly out of post-it notes right now. Like, he's got to have an order into Office Depot because there's got to be so many notes on the locker of Liam Eikenberg. He's getting beat in practice. He's getting beat in, you know, by the Falcons. He's getting beat by just about anything and everyone that has a pulse or even doesn't. Like, I saw a plant fall over and it still got past Liam and shoestring tackled to a, I mean, it's just, it doesn't look like this experiment is going anywhere yet. They continue to say, "No, we like what we're seeing." And Austin Jackson seemed like they're saying, it's like Noah Igbinoghene. I don't buy the Igbinoghene hype at this point, but Austin and Noah seem like they're, "Oh yeah, no, finally, this is the year. We're going to make it happen." I just don't see it, Chris. Like, what am I missing? Why am I not more excited?
Yeah, honestly, I'm like, it's just, I feel like we've been saying this for years. And it's just pick your lineman and replace it with someone else. But Liam Eikenberg and Austin Jackson are just one of those, I don't know, is it Chris Greer? Like, he's been dating this person very long and he just doesn't want to like just end it because he's nervous and doesn't know what life's like without him. Because like Liam Eikenberg and Austin Jackson are just so bad. I was worried when we got Armstead that he was going to decline in work rate because obviously it must be our coaching or something, but just Greer's not picking the right player. But Liam Eikenberg in Notre Dame, like, he was good. He was a good tackle stat-wise. I mean, he gave up, like, what, 4 sacks total in 4 years starting for a ACC, you know, top Power 5 school? Like, I mean, how was he so bad now in the NFL? Like, it just doesn't make any kind of sense. No. And we switched coaches. We thought we got a better coach in Applebaum, and they're still giving up 4 sacks to the Falcons today. So I don't know what the answer is, Sam. And I feel like we've been having this conversation so much, like you said earlier in the show, you want to vomit. Like, this makes me vomit talking about O-line again.
Yeah, I really hope that something comes together. I don't know what, but I hope something comes together and this gets fixed, because even our offensive coordinator was an offensive line coach. It seems like we've thrown so many assets out there in terms of first round draft picks, signing free agents, trading for people, you know, revolving people in different systems, trying to get friends of Mike McDaniel and trying to get other people in, and none of it seems to be working. And I can't quite figure out why that is. And I know we're not the only franchise that has this, but it's like, good Lord, we got to figure that. I mean, you have to, the window is a 2-year window and you can't let that window be shut, because two people on the offensive line can't pull their weight, quite literally. Big fat asses can't do anything. So I don't know, man. Those are the areas that I'm concerned about, the areas to watch as we go into our first preseason game against these Atlanta Falcons. We're going to be looking for offensive line help outside of the starters that we know are going to be there. Three-fifths of it are done. The other two, I think, are still up in the air. The inside linebacker area, safety next to Javon Holland. And, of course, somebody on this tight end squad has to step up and do something other than what we've seen. Is there any other areas of concern or areas that you'd be focused on, Chris, going into game one against the Atlanta Falcons later this week?
Yeah, I'm excited to look at the depth at running back and receiver just to see who's behind Tyreek, who's behind Waddle, who's somebody that can step up. I mean, Braxton Berrios is having a good camp from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Usagama is doing that. Can we draft somebody with a last name like Smith? Like
we did, Timmons. Tim Smith. We finally got it. Yeah,
you're right. We did. Thank you, Greer. And Brandon Jones should be back at safety next to Javon Holland. Hopefully, I mean, I think he's still recovering from injury from last year, but he was hell of a player last season and before his injury. We just don't know if Vic Fangio is going to use him the same as he was used in the box a lot of blitzing against the run, things like that. So, definitely just depth. I mean, depth, I really don't care about quarterback and seeing those guys, whatever. Mike White will do fine. But, yeah, I want to see the receivers behind our starters. If maybe somebody step up at tight end. You know, you never know when the game starts, when the bullets are flying. So, Zach actually has a scrimmage 6:30 p.m. Friday. So I'll be at that. So I'm probably going to watch a replay Saturday. But of course, it's not a real game. So I'll keep abreast to it and everything during the actual night. But I'll watch Saturday, kind of get a feel for it. But that's what I'm going to be looking for is it. I can't wait to see the rookies. You know, Cam Smith, he plays, and Achane, the running back. This kid is lightning in a bottle. So it's going to be cool to watch those guys.
Do you think Tua plays? Do you think he plays? You know, and if so, how long does he play?
I mean, I wouldn't fucking play him. Like, I don't understand why you would. He's getting plenty of practice reps. And the last fucking thing you need is some fifth round defensive end that comes free and he wants to make his goddamn name and he puts Tua out for 6 weeks. Like, there's just no point. Like, just don't even play him.
I wouldn't be worried about that as much as a guy named Calais Campbell, who's on that defensive line. And we all know what he does when he matches up against quarterbacks for the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, I agree. I don't think you need to play Tua Tagovailoa. I don't think you need to play Jalen Waddle. I don't think you need to play Tyreek Hill. I'd like to see Braxton Berrios out there, Robbie Chosen, Eric Azunkanma. And of course, I think the running backs, I would be okay with Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson Jr. not playing either. And just give reps to Gaskin, Achane, and
Ahmed
and see who's going to take that, you know, third back in that backfield. So I would see the starters, if they played, it's got to be a one and done, like get in there, get out. But I don't need to see Tyreek Hill out there. I don't need to see Jalen Waddle out there. I certainly don't need to see Tua Tagovailoa. Now on defense, it's a little bit of a different story. I'd like to see this defense, even in their base 3-4, whatever, for Vic Fangio, I want to see the starters out there for at least one series. I want to just see what it looks like, have them line up, make sure that they understand game time situations, even in a generic vanilla preseason game. And then I'd get them out of there too, and let the you know, backups and third stringers battle it out. That's how I would like to see this game against the Atlanta Falcons go. Anything else? Kickers, punters. It seems I guess we've made a decision on a punter here, Chris. We cut the Turk. The Turk went and got the Turk, and now we have Jake Bailey, if I'm not mistaken, former Patriot, who I actually, if you look at his stats other than last year when he was injured, he's a really good player. So I don't know why people are all up in arms about an undrafted rookie punter being cut when we have a really, really good punter at home, Chris. I don't know what else there is to talk about with regards to this team. I think we've done a pretty good job of just recapping what we've seen and what we've heard. I do want to talk a little bit about Zach Thomas. I have there was a video that I saw and I wanted to get your thoughts on it, but before we jump into that and end on a good note, anything else about this game coming up, this team currently, that you want to talk about? You're muted. I don't hear you at all. Nope. Lost you. Nope. You just went dark. Did you mute yourself on your headphone somehow? No, it wouldn't have been that. Nope. we were on a roll. Something happened. Like I heard myself for half a second and then nothing at all.
Hello.
There you are.
Hey.
I don't know what that was.
I don't either.
No. I'll cut it out. It doesn't matter. I was just asking if there anything else we want to talk about the team before we switch over.
No, I'm good. Let's move on to Zach. He deserves it.
Okay. Well, I saw this video, Chris, and it was put together. Have you seen this? It was on YouTube. It's like 6 or 7 minutes. And it's Zach Thomas watching game film of his greatest plays. Did you saw that?
Yep. Sure did. Yeah. What a great idea. In a movie theater or whatever. Yep. Like, oh, I loved it. I thought that was fantastic.
Great idea. So actually, before I saw that, I had this premise in my mind. And then I saw that and I went, we're going to do that. What play in your mind is the one that epitomizes Zach Thomas the most? Like if you could just pick one play to show somebody who's never seen him play and say, this is why he's special, which play would it be and why?
Can I have three?
No, you can have one.
Please. I'm going to say three because I'm the co-host of the show. Fuck you.
Fair enough.
Knocking out Lavernius Coles.
Jesus, the concussion. Okay.
Yep. Yep. The front flip Monday Night Football against Tennessee, opening Monday Night Football game of the season. I mean, you want to talk about like thinking it was our year. Like we just kicked ass, national TV, Zach had a pick six. But my third one is the stop. And I think the fullback was Chandler for the Falcons.
Yeah.
When Vic ran all over us and they needed it was like a fourth and goal. And supposedly Zach broke his neck or had a broken neck or something and literally met this fullback in the middle.
Yep.
Twice his size, stalemated him and fucking won us the game. And that was like, you want to talk about grit and putting your team on your back, never leaving the field, head up with somebody. I just want it more than you. That play right there. So the two are C and B. A is that play. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that game. Vic was insane. I think it was his rookie year, maybe the year after. Just nuts. And we needed a stop more than anything. And Zach Thomas stepped up right on the goal line in our home field and made that stop for our team.
Yeah, that's a great play. I mean, I think they talked to his sister during the Hall of Fame ceremonies, Katina, and she said that the bus stop, as she calls it, when he stuffed Jerome Bettis and dropped him as well.
Didn't to me, use the sound of that hit in video games?
I'm like, sure they had
Jerome Bettis, and he made him make a sound of like getting hit, and they use that audio in video games for tackles.
Yeah, I mean, Mar, think about this: that front flip against the Tennessee Titans, that interception is to me the play. For Zach Thomas, if you look at that pre-snap, how he moves around, if you look at when he decides to break because he knows the ball's going in that direction, he takes the ball and he scores a touchdown, which at the time, it may still be there. It was a record for the Miami Dolphins in terms of pick sixes by a defender or linebacker or whatever the stat was. But what really got me, especially when you watch that video, because he's doing that flip and he goes, yeah, I got to work on that. You know, I wish I had that one back. But isn't that the epitome of Zach Thomas? He always barely made it, but he made it. And like even getting into the Hall of Fame, it seemed like he wasn't ever going to get there. He was going to be just short, but somehow completes the flip and makes it in. And I look at that flip, and to me, that is the Zach Thomas play because it's everything that he did as a player, all of his prep work, the physicality that he did have, putting himself in a position to win. He talks all the time about taking half a step to the left or half a step to the right, and that being the difference between making a stop in the hole and being blocked and burned and having somebody go past you for 25 yards on a run. He was so prepared, and he was just so good, and he had good instincts, and he had a great football mind that he puts himself in a position to make that play, and then he finishes it, and he finishes in the most Zach Thomas way ever. Non-athletic, worst flip you ever see, but he somehow figures out a way with the will and the grit to finish it, finish the flip, not break his neck, and land. And to me, that was just the most Zach Thomas play there has been, which is why it's probably shown over and over and over again.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, it's a great call to Al Michaels, I think it might be. They were literally talking about him before the play. And then they're like, there's Zach. There he is. We were just talking about him. You know, set the tone for the season. National TV on the road. And we do go out there and just spank the Titans. That's definitely why it's one of my top three. It's just iconic when you said that. The first thing I think of is his head barely grazing the field as he's front flipping into the end zone. But one of the coolest things I thought about the highlights of Zach during his speech and before it, leading up to it, was every big play he made, Sam. And this is something, I got emotional during it. his teammates, right? His teammates, man. Every single big play, there's 8 to 9 other defenders that are just loving on him, running, sprinting to hug him and celebrate with him because they know and knew how hard he worked and how much it meant to him and how much harder he had to work because of his limitations. And he did it. And to see that to fruition and him have success, his teammates loved him so much that they wanted to be there and celebrate that with him. And I thought that every single video, no matter the generation or the decade or the year, it was some other group of players that were just loving Zach Thomas and being his teammate. And that's what he meant to me.
Yeah. And the other thing that stood out in that video where he's diagnosing his own plays is the very first play. If you haven't seen that video, I think it's a Miami Dolphins YouTube video. It's a must watch, but the very first play is his first interception. And that's against, I believe, Tennessee Titans. Or, I'm sorry, the Tennessee Oilers. They might've been in Houston still. I'm not sure. I think Chris Chandler was the quarterback and you look at that play and you go, oh, he made an interception. Good play by Zach, but he goes out of his way to go, this was a great play, but it's a great play because watch Trace Armstrong put pressure on him. And he goes, and it's a great play because watch OJ Burgantz basically, hold the receiver long enough so that Zach can get there in time. And he goes, so it may have been a great play, but it was a great play because of this guy and that guy. I just finished it. So unselfish. You look at this and it's unselfish, and he's giving credit and flowers out to these other guys who helped him be successful, even though that highlight is a Zach Thomas highlight, right? And then there's other ones though, but this is what I loved about the honesty. There was another play during that 7-minute video, Chris, where he's like, well, that one's all me. And I think it was against the Raiders when he basically caught a touchdown pass in the end zone, from them. And he's like, oh, that one's all me. I knew where they were going. I made the play and I was there. But it's insane to me when you watch those videos and you watch some other ones, just how last second or how he follows what's happening with the quarterback. It's amazing. He's just the epitome of what a football player should be. So,
anybody has mentioned him coaching. A lot of things he said prove why he can't be a great coach, and he might be able to be one, but it's just like Ed Reed, and the way he articulated it was he would watch guys' body language. Mm-hmm. He'd see how they're standing.
Yep.
If they looked excited, he knew they're maybe getting the ball. If they're looking off to the left and maybe looking and seeing who's going to be the guy running free that they're going to block, he paid attention to every single little articulate detail that gave him an advantage. And when you coach, you can't tell someone to just do that.
Right.
Right. And that's just, it's in your body. Well, so you can't be like, just watch the running back. If he looks nervous, he's getting the ball. What? No, you can't just teach that. Like,
and that's open to interpretation too. Right. Correct. So, it's not like even if he were to tell them everything that he did, it's not like you go do the same thing. Oh, that guy looks happy. He's getting the ball. And it turns out he's a decoy and he wasn't getting the ball. And now you're fucked. Like he was so good at that. I mean, he's very underrated with his football IQ. And I think that's what everyone always talks about, is how much he prepared, and he did, but my God, the dude just, he knows ball. That's all I can say, as the great Sean Williams would say.
And I hated him as a player just because he beat us and was part of that team. But I'm really glad Zach shouted out Kevin Mawai. He really got this ball rolling with mentioning Zach, taking time out of his Hall of Fame speech to mention Zach Thomas. I mean, it was just huge. And the fact that he called him out. Let's end on this, though. Let me ask you your opinion. And I don't know if there's been factual about it. Was Jason Taylor there?
So
I don't think he was there. He mentioned him, but they didn't show him.
The silence is deafening when it comes to Jason Taylor. There's a lot of personal issues there with regards to Jason Taylor being married to Zach Thomas's sister in the past. Obviously that did not end well. I don't know where they're at, but Zach is such a class act that he mentioned Jason in his speech, but I haven't seen anything from Jason Taylor about it. And I could make a couple phone calls and maybe get an opinion on that, but I feel like maybe it's better to let sleeping dogs lie. I don't like to see dad fight. I love both of those guys as football players. And I just, in my mind, I hope they had a personal conversation that, stays personal and never gets repeated out to anybody. And they're good. They're square. And they don't give a shit what the media says or what you and I say or anything else. But it stood out to me as well. I noticed the same thing.
Yeah, definitely noticed it. Definitely noticed his sister's jawline. Good Lord, they're related.
Have you seen his dad?
Yeah, they showed him during the thing. Oh yeah, chiseled out of marble. How about him calling out his wife's brothers for telling her not to date him, and then now he's like, now they're wearing my jerseys.
Yeah,
that was great, man. I can break down that speech. He had a great speech. wasn't over the top, was perfect, mentioned high school coaches, college coaches, teammates, had a hell of a Texas ending with God bless America, you know, all that, just absolute perfect speech.
You know, and you know, the forgotten Dolphin Junior Seau, I mean, every highlight you see is with the Chargers and the Patriots, but you know, you could see how much he meant to Zach Thomas on so many levels. And I'm so glad he brought him up, because Junior Seau was a big part of, I used to call him the all name defense at the time. I mean, just so many good players on that defense, and Junior Seau was next level and seemed like the most classiest human being. People that I know that knew Junior Seau say the same thing. So to see him go out of his way to say something about Junior as well was fantastic. I mean, it's just, there's, I'm sure there's been more iconic and memorable speeches in the Hall of Fame, but
but it was very Zach Thomas speech.
Yes. And it was great. And it was perfect. And he went first, and they should have, and I think the Hall of Fame did it right. Joe Thomas needed to go last. You're going to have a Dallas Cowboy in there. He's probably going to get a lot of pub as well, but you started off. It's like, if you can't be the main event of WrestleMania, you want to be the first match, because everyone's 100%. Going to be up and ready to go. So him going first, I think, made all the sense in the world. Get him up there, let the Dolphins fan have their moment. You know, here's why too. If he doesn't go, all those other Hall of Famers who are deserving, they're going to get railroaded by the Miami Dolphins that are in that stadium and or, you know, at that ceremony. So you strategically put Zach first, you let the Dolphins fans get it out of their system, have a good time, and move on from there. So I loved it. I wouldn't change anything else about that, other than the fact that I could have flown in 2 days earlier than I did.
You dumbass. Now you got a 20-minute flight tomorrow. Enjoy. Karma.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I hope the plane crashes. It's 10 minutes
in. Jesus Christ. 10 minutes in, yeah. I hope you land, buddy. I want to keep doing this with you.
Yeah, it's going to be a good season. So any final predictions for the Atlanta Falcons-Miami Dolphins preseason game number one? What's the score going to be? What's going to happen here, Chris?
23-17. It's Dolphins win.
Okay, well, there you go.
Sure.
I'm going to go with 42-38. Atlanta Falcons somehow pull it off and piss off Miami Dolphins fans everywhere.
We'll be okay. I'm sure somebody will overreact.
well, speaking of overreact, shout out to OJ McDuffie, who I talked to OJ the other day after, I don't know if you saw his clapbacks on Twitter or not, but OJ McDuffie has had it with the negative fan base and went absolutely fucking batshit crazy in a good way on defense of the Miami Dolphins current team, on defense of, I think, every player that's ever had criticism against somebody who's never played or been around the game before. And I talked to him and I said, I think you might be top five all-time favorite Dolphins because of his social media presence and how he interacts with fans right now, and for standing up for what's right. So I told him he really needs to do a video where he talks about fan etiquette, what to and not to do when you are watching this as a fan, thinking you're a journalist. And that's probably a shot at you and I, but I don't know if you saw any of that, but holy shit, did OJ McDuffie come out hard the other day?
Yeah, no, good for him. I saw people commenting, is this about the juice thing and stuff? So I'll have to look more into it. I didn't get into detail, but that sounds fun. Sounds interesting, because we've been pretty positive our careers in this podcast. So most of the time, unless it's Jakeem Grant or Devontae Parker, but we've been pretty positive. And I think they know that. Players that are aware of our podcast know that. And the people that listen know that. I mean, like, we're just trying to be fans, man, and have fun and talk about the Dolphins, not like, you know, shit on somebody that's got a professional career attached to it.
No. I mean, look, you and I both know, and you and I, we can't say it on air, but we know players on the team that are listening to this show. And yes, we know, hello, they're probably listening right now, but it doesn't mean you can't criticize them. Doesn't mean you can't question certain things, but you also can't be an asshole about it. Like, just don't be an asshole all the time. I mean, it's not like it's Dallas Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, you know, but which, by the way, he texted me the other day. He's like, this Liam guy sucks. I'm like, this is a lot coming from Dallas Thomas, but none of that happened. That was a lie. But anyway, I don't know, man. It's fun to see you. I'm glad you're back. I don't appreciate the hat. But what's funny about this is that we talked about Coors for like 25. You keep the hat on.
And it's behind me the whole time. I know.
I
was thinking
about that too. I know. We're not even brought to you by Coors. I think GameTime.co and BetOnline.ag are national sponsors. But Coors, if you want to give us a couple of six packs, we'll drink it. And we'll pretend it's Ireland and we'll just drink it and drink it and drink it.
I'll take some silver bullets. Absolutely. Mountains are always blue in my house.
All right. Well, Chris, with that, I don't know if there's anything else to say. So on behalf of myself and the two-time Hall of Famer and everybody at the Believe Network, presented by betonline.ag, the only thing left to say is goodbye from Perfectville.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.